why should we be heavenly minded, and what effect does that have on our lives now? I just wanted to talk about that real quick before we were done.
Well, 2 Peter 3, in a passage that talks about awaiting the new heavens and the new earth, expectantly looking forward to the new a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You know, in that same context, he says, "And what sort of people ought you to be in terms of life and godliness?" And the whole context is one of, in light of the fact that we will live with Christ forever on an earth, the home of righteousness, sin conquered, holy and happy and fulfilled, and walking with God in communion with each other and with Him for all eternity. How should that affect the way we live now?
Amen.
Well, we should live happier lives and holier lives. We should, you know, look at sin as a temporary aberration that is an enemy of the soul, an enemy of God, and an enemy of our happiness. And we should resist temptation, and we should be willing to undergo persecution and suffering for the cause of Christ, knowing that our present sufferings are temporary. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us and to us. So we live differently today because our view of tomorrow is not this disembodied state that people dread. I mean, I've had people tell me before, I had a pastor tell me, in all honesty, he says, you know, I would rather cease to exist than to go to heaven for all eternity, the sheer boredom. I dread it. I just dread it. And I looked at him and said, well, that's because you have a theology that is not biblical. And you're not thinking of the new earth. You're not thinking of the new creation. You're just thinking of a place suited for angels, which would be maybe nothingness or some other non-physical realm, but that's not what God promises us. And by the way, you mentioned, this is probably a good place to wrap it up, because you mentioned earlier the thing about trying to reach unbelievers with a message that includes heaven, is that when we have a gospel that is, okay, the good news is that one day you're going to die and God is going to take you out of this world, in which, yes, there's been sorrow and pain, but there's also been delight and pleasures and happiness. And God is going to deliver you to a sinless realm where you can't sin or do anything else.
Anything fun.
For all eternity. Yeah. And you'll just drift around and that will be all. Well, that is not the gospel. The gospel is God redeems his people and redeems the planet on which his people live, so that his perfect plan for Adam and Eve was never, ever changed. It appeared to be derailed through sin and the curse, but then he brought Jesus, and the ultimate plan is a restoration of God's original vision, but magnified. Human beings shall indeed, as only Adam and Eve did, apparently for a brief period of time, human beings will reign as kings and queens of the earth, a new earth. Sin, been there, done that, never again.
Amen.
And we will gloriously worship God, serve God, sit down at feasts. Jesus was explicit about this. You know, they'll come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We will celebrate together. What do you do at feast? You eat, you drink, you're happy, you tell stories, you laugh. And I think the loudest laugh is liable to be the laugh of Jesus, our Savior.